Alrighty, guys. Hey, we are going to continue our series of running with the Giants. We've been running with those guys for a little while now. Been running with them for a while. I don't know about you, but I love hearing from men and women of God. I love hearing stories. I love hearing about all the good things that God has done in the past. And yesterday at the 50th anniversary for the Gilmores, Mr. Tim kind of took me down memory lane, told me a little bit about Berwick, gave me some history. That man knows history. He really does. I didn't realize that prior to about 1961 or two, there was no Berwick High School. Didn't know that. Didn't know that everybody had to go to Morgan City. Why would you have to do that? But, they finally got with the program, and Berwick High School was created. He was telling me about some of that stuff and telling me that Berwick used to be pretty good at football, used to do a lot of things really, really well. And it was really neat spending some time with your husband. I enjoyed that. He likes to talk, and I like to listen, so it was probably a pretty cool thing. But you know what, guys? This series that we've been doing, the idea, of course, is out of Hebrews chapter number 12, that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And it reminds us that there are men and women who've gone before us, that have walked this walk of faith, that Casey have made it through the ups and downs of life, that have dealt with offense, that have dealt with trouble, and they've done it victoriously. And they've got to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? Not well, you're done. Okay? No, well done, good and faithful servant. And those people, Sister Diana, are trying to speak into our lives today. Well, there's a new one that we're going to talk to about today, and it's Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah was a significant leader for the kingdom of God. When we first came here, the Lord had kind of given us some direction from the book of Nehemiah. In fact, I think on Wednesday nights, Chantel taught on that for a good while. I even preached on it one Sunday because I think there's some real significance, okay? Nehemiah saw a need. He saw some dry bones, if you will. He saw a situation that needed changing. And then he got busy about doing it. You know, it's one thing to see a need and just say, oh, somebody ought to do something about that. And it's another thing to see a need in case you let it grip your heart, let it challenge your emotions, and all of a sudden you decide, you know what? That somebody is me, and I'm going to do something about it. Amen? And Nehemiah is an amazing, amazing man of God, and we're going to talk about him a little bit this morning. So, Nehemiah, the next guy we get to run a lap with, he would tell us that no problem is too big when you have help. No problem is too big when you have help, especially when that help comes from God, okay? You know, after having so many of these great giants of faith, we are encouraged that man, we're probably ready to go run this race ourselves. We're ready to, man, what more could we learn? We've heard from Abraham and from Noah and from some great heroes of faith, so man, we're considering turning out the stadium and maybe starting to run on our own, but the next giant of faith is already beside us. He looks like some official of some kind. He's wearing a gold chain about his neck and indicating his official status. He's carrying a small scroll. This man looks at us and he seems to sense a desire to go out and meet life head on. He says to us, there was a time in my life when everything was going well for me. I had access to the king daily. I enjoyed the many pleasures of the palace. Mine was a coveted position, one that a foreigner doesn't usually achieve. You could say I had it made. You ever been there? You ever been there? Man, Fabian, everything was looking great. But there's usually something missing, isn't there? Everything was coming together. The man turns his head. He looks to you and he says, I'm Nehemiah. I was cupbearer to the king of Persia. Before we can react, he continues, then one day I received word about my hometown, Jerusalem. The walls of the city were in ruin. The gates had been burned to the ground. The people were unprotected from their many enemies. The news hit me like a ton of bricks. I began to weep uncontrollably. The situation was hopeless. I was helpless to do anything about it. In my grief, I turned to God. And he made me understand something. No problem is too big when you have help. No problem, friends, is too big when you have help. I knew what I had to do. I had to ask for help. You know, guys, there's going to be times in our life when we need to ask for help. As your pastor, I recognize that building this church is not something I can do by myself. It's not something just me and Chantel can do. We need your help. And collectively, we need the Lord's help. Amen. Let's learn a few lessons from Nehemiah today, who accomplished some fantastic things, who was able to do some things that he could not have accomplished on his own. They certainly, even the people, could not have accomplished without the help of God. Let us learn some lessons from this, because there's great things left for us to do together and with God's help. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for an opportunity today to hear from your word. I pray that you would touch us, that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us. Let your word change us. Lord, I pray today that we would learn lessons from Nehemiah. Lord, great man of God, great man of faith who did some fantastic things. Lord, we want to do spectacular things, not because of us, but because of you. We want you to bless us like you blessed Nehemiah. Help us, Lord, to rebuild the walls, to make this church strong and healthy once again. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. See, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem is not a story of a single successful person. The walls were rebuilt because many people helped one another and worked together. First of all, Nehemiah sought the aid of his king, who agreed to send him to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. When he got there, Nehemiah again asked for help. Scripture quotes his plea to the people in Nehemiah chapter number 2. Verses 17 through 18 say this: "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they, the nobles, the priests, and the officials said, 'Let us rise up and build.' Then they set their hands to this good work." And then some amazing things got done. We enjoy hearing Nehemiah describe how the people banded together, family by family, working for a remarkable 52 days with swords in one hand and tools in the other, and they rebuilt the wall. They did something significant for God. Friends, I believe LCC Berwick is about to do some significant things for God. I believe in these last few months we've already begun to do significant things for God, but we're just scratching the surface. Really what we're doing right now, friends, is we're building a foundation. We're building a foundation. We're building your faith. We're encouraging you because God is wanting to do something significant. Casey, you understand foundations, don't you? You take some time doing that stuff, don't you? You can't cut corners when it comes to foundations. Why? Because if you do, when you build upon that foundation, those flaws will be exposed, right? All of a sudden, what you think is going to go so high and go so well, cracks begin to form, and you have a problem with the foundation. Guys, it's just the same thing in a church. We have to build a firm foundation. We need to make sure, Fabian, that our faith is rock solid. We need to deal with those flaws in our life, those character issues, those offenses, those hurts, those unforgiveness issues. All those issues must be dealt with. Why? Because what God wants to do here, what God wants to do through you, is going to be significant. And that foundation, Casey, has to be rock solid so that when we build up high, when we build upon that thing, it doesn't come tumbling down. How many times have we seen things come crashing down, Rick? How many times have we seen things go so quickly, flash in the pan, everything was going well, and then some character flaw, some issue came up? Guys, this church knows about issues coming up, doesn't it? Okay? We've been there. We've done that. We had meetings about that nonsense. Okay? Those days are over. Okay? Today, we're building a foundation, Michael. We're working the foundation. We're making sure that foundation, Miss Wanda, is rock solid so that when God begins to build, when God begins to put brick upon brick upon brick, Brother Chase, it's going to be something to behold. Not because of us. Not because of me. Because of him. Amen? So today, let's learn a lesson or two from old Nehemiah. Let's learn a lesson or two about how together we can do great things for God. You see, like Nehemiah, there'll be times in our life when we need some help. There'll be some times in our life when we need to ask others to help, okay? So when should we ask for help? When are some times when we should ask for help? With the wisdom of someone who's rallied such a great group of people to do a work for God, Nehemiah shares with you and me when we should ask for help. Number one, we should ask others for help when the problem is bigger than us. When there's something you're going through that is bigger than you are, you need to ask for some help. The problem Nehemiah faced was certainly bigger than he was. Look at what he was up against. This is the situation of what Nehemiah was going through. Nehemiah was geographically far from the problem. He was more than 1,000 miles away when he heard about it. Think about that. You know, today you just get a plane ticket. You just fly over there. It didn't happen like that in those days, okay? He was 1,000 miles removed from the problem. In addition, the people of Jerusalem had no materials to rebuild the walls. They didn't have everything they needed. The people also had no will of their own to take on the rebuilding project. You know, there are a lot of people a lot closer to the problem than Nehemiah, but apparently it didn't affect them like it affected Nehemiah. And then finally, there was great opposition to a rebuilding project from enemies. See, when you and I face problems that are bigger than us, it's not time to get discouraged. It's time to get some help. Amen? When should we? This reminds me of what James said in chapter number 5 of his book. James chapter number 5, verses 14 through 16. You've heard this before. We do it at prayer time. We say it so many times. James writes, "Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Look at verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You see, guys, that's an example of asking for and getting some help at a time of need. That's what it's really all about. Guys, we need to realize when we need some help, okay? As your pastor, I'm saying, I need your help. For VBS, I'm saying on behalf of Sister Sarah, we need your help. Amen? For all the things that God wants us to do, we need your help. On behalf of Brother Jesse, our youth pastor, he needs your help. Okay, on behalf of Brother Rick with our Royal Rangers, you've been so faithful for so long. You could use a little help, couldn't you? Guess what, Holly? Missionettes, they got a little room for help, right? Okay, Sunday school, we could use some help there. Yeah, exactly. We need your help. Amen. You know, guys, at a strong and healthy church, there are a bunch of people that are invested in the ministry. I've heard it say this way, every member, a minister. You may not have a reverend title in front of your name. By the way, that's way overrated, I promise you. Okay? You may not get up here on this platform, but again, that's kind of overrated too. Okay? But you get to do something special for the kingdom of God. Miss Rita, we need you. We need every one of us here today. Amen? Some of you that have home churches that far away, let me say on behalf of your pastor, God has a plan for you at your home church. Amen? God needs to use you in Pineville and wherever you're from. God wants to use us. So, we should ask for help when the problem's bigger than we are. Number two, we should ask others for help when the problem becomes personal. We should ask others for help when the problem becomes personal. When Nehemiah heard about the state of Jerusalem, he mourned for many days. It broke his heart. It wasn't just some bit of foreign news, it was personal. Max Dupree says, the first responsibility of a leader is to define current reality. See, Nehemiah saw the current reality was there was a big problem. The walls of Jerusalem were destroyed. You know, back in those days, those walls protected you. It was important to have some walls. It was important to have that protection. A city that was vulnerable was going to be soon destroyed. Nehemiah recognized that, and he said, this is the city of God. This ought not be so. You know what, guys? We've seen this church in tough times before, haven't we, Brother Rick? Sister Debbie, you've seen some tough times, huh? Well, guess what? That ought not be so. God wants to reestablish this church. God wants to make this church strong and healthy again. Just like he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, he's rebuilding this church. Except in the walls of Jerusalem, he did it one brick at a time, Janet. He's going to do it right here, one person at a time. Amen? Do you believe that? I believe that. See, as a leader for the rebuilding project, Nehemiah recognized the reality of the situation in the Judean capital, and frankly, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. You see, there are times in our life when a need or a situation hits us in the gut and we truly feel it. Okay? When something just grips your heart, when God touches your heart, there's a big need here. You see, a church is like a family. We refer to that all the time, okay? A church is like a family. This church is like a family. Paul told us in Romans chapter number 12 to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Guys, we're in this thing together. Man, when Shelby graduates on Friday, we all rejoice together. Amen? We're excited for her. Amen? You know what, guys? When one of us goes through a difficult time, we all weep together. We're in this thing together. Amen? That's a sign of a strong and healthy church. We're in this thing together. When you say, hey, Melinda needs prayer, we pray together because we're family. It's what we do. By the way, that baby looks good in your arms. Oh, man, great-grandma. Great-grandma. Wow, that's pretty cool stuff. So, guys, when should we ask for help? When the problem becomes personal. Number three, we should ask others for help when we have shared the problem with God. When you've shared the problem with God, you need to ask for help. The first thing Nehemiah did when he heard about Jerusalem's condition was he talked to God. Let me camp out there for just a second, okay? When something comes up, the first thing you don't do is get on the telephone, okay? The first thing you do when something goes up, you don't get on Facebook, okay? You get on your face and you get in the book. And he say that again, okay? Don't just get on Facebook, get on your face in prayer and get in the book. We need to go to God with our problems. Amen? Can you come to your pastor? Yes. But do me a favor. Go to God first. You go to him first. You might not have to come see me. Can I relate? Now, there'll be times that you need to come to spiritual counsel. You need somebody to come alongside with you and pray with you and put your faith together with you. But go to God first. Amen? Because guess what, guys? You won't always be able to get me on the phone. You won't always be able to get Miss Chantel on the phone. You won't always be able to get somebody on your side. But Jesus is just one prayer away. Amen? Miss Diana, with everything you're going through, call out on God. Amen? Encourage your dad. Call out on God. Because that's where our help comes from. Amen? So you know what? That's when we need to, when we have problems that are big, we should ask others for help when we've shared the problem with God. Too often we try to carry the load of the problem all by ourselves. But the first person we should ask for help in any situation is God. There was a great hymn that was correct when it penned the words, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Scripture asserts, let us come boldly, Hebrews chapter number 4, you've heard this before, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. How are we supposed to approach God, Fabian? Boldly, okay? Boldly. Brother Rick, we're supposed to go to God and say, God, I need you. I need your help. Casey, we need to go on behalf of our family to God. God, I need you. I need you to come through in my family. I need you to come through on my behalf. Miss Wanda, we need to go boldly to the throne of God. Say, Lord, I need my husband touched. I need my son touched. I need help. And guys, I could use every one of us as an example. Why? Because we're all needy. You know, sometimes we think we got it all together. Stop fooling yourself. Okay, guys, we try to have it together, but guess what? We're needy people too. Okay, we need God. If we need God, how much more do you need God? We all need God. We can't do this on our own. Sister Josie, there were times we tried, right? That didn't work so hot. Okay, we need God. We need to take our problems to God. We need to take our situations to God. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Get your help. Fourthly, we should ask others for help when we are willing to do our part. We need to ask others for help, but first of all, you need to be willing to do your part. See, God wants to be our partner throughout life. Too often we are tempted to either carry the entire load ourselves or to give everything to God and do nothing. God doesn't like either one of those strategies. Sometimes he moves before us and sometimes he moves after us, but he doesn't move without us. Hear these words closely. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Let me say that one more time. Guys, this is going to be a principle of building this church. This is going to be a principle of a strong and healthy church. Without God, we cannot. But without us, God will not. There's a partnership. It's a divine partnership. We're in this thing together. Just as Nehemiah was willing to go halfway across the known world to do what he could, so should you and I. Now, is God asking us to go halfway across the world like the Holloways? No. Sometimes he's asking you to go across the street to your neighbor. Sometimes he's asking you to go across town to that family member that you're having trouble with. Sometimes he's asking you to just go out of your way to do something kind. Guys, whatever God asks you to do, we got to do it. Amen? You know, the Bible tells us, to him who knows what to do and doesn't do it, what is that, Sister Debbie? That's sin. All right? That's sin. If we know what to do and we don't do it, oh, that ain't good. Okay? We all have a vital part to play in God's plan. We all have a part to play. You know, I had a privilege of pastoring a great church right down the road in Desalmons, Louisiana. What made that church so great is the founding pastor was our superintendent for many, many years. You probably know his name, Brother Cecil Janway. Great man of God. Great man of God. Brother Cecil used to say this, pray like only God can and work like only you can. Let me say that again. If we're going to build a strong and healthy church here, if we're going to do great things for God, we're going to have to do it this way. Pray like only God can. On Monday nights, we cry out to God that the only way this church will grow is if he does it. But then the rest of the week, we need to work like only we can. We need to do things like only we can. We need to realize that if we don't do our job, VVS is going to fall flat. It's not, because we're going to do our part. And then when we do our part, God does his part, and great things begin to happen. Amen? You see, guys, we need to be willing to do something for God. We need to be willing to do something for God. I read this little humorous story. Yeah, I say it's humorous, but it's really kind of sad because it describes things sometimes. It's called The Bodies. You may have heard this one before. Once upon a time, there were four people named Everybody, Somebody, Nobody, and Anybody. When there was an important job to be done, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. When nobody did it, everybody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that somebody would do it, but nobody realized that nobody would do it. So it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done in the first place. You see, guys, we need to be the somebody that does something about it. Amen? Anybody could do it. That could be used to illustrate anything. That could be used to illustrate the Great Commission. That could be used to illustrate a VBS volunteer. It could be a Royal Ranger volunteer. Anybody could do it. But sometimes we just say, well, somebody will do it. Will you be that somebody? I think God's wanting me to ask you today, will you be that somebody? Everybody has a purpose within the church, the body of Christ. If you're not doing what God's called you to do, it may not get done. Let that sink in. If you don't witness to that loved one, he may never get witnessed to. If you don't invite that neighbor to church, he may never get invited. Guys, let's do something for the kingdom. Amen? And then finally, we should ask others for help when we sense God's approval for the vision. We need to seek help from others when we sense God's approval of the vision. When Nehemiah prayed, he asked God to give him favor. As Nehemiah obeyed God, he increasingly sensed that God had answered his requests. Nehemiah says that when the king gave him permission to go back to Jerusalem and supplied him with letters and materials, in Nehemiah 2 and 8, it says, the king granted upon me according to the good hand of my God upon me. When Nehemiah stood before the people of Jerusalem to challenge them with the huge rebuilding project, he encouraged them by telling them of the hand of God that was upon him. When opposition arose concerning the rebuilding of the wall, with confidence Nehemiah said, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will rise up and build. Nehemiah's increased awareness of God's blessing was a direct result of his continued obedience. Nehemiah would tell us, never try to explain God until you first obeyed him. Let me say that again. Don't try to explain God until you first obeyed him. Guys, I don't know about you, but I believe it is God's will that this church would become strong and healthy again. I don't care what this church has been through, but I know where it's going. And I believe, Brother JD, it's a fire in my belly. I was telling somebody about it yesterday. I was telling my, I got to see a lot of good faces at your little reunion yesterday. People who used to come to this church and they ask about the church. And you know how those used to go, right, Debbie? When they used to ask about the church, you kind of, it's okay. Don't answer like that no more. God is doing great things. What was it you say? Yeah, Sister Josie, you put something really cool on Facebook, okay? And by the way, I read what you put on Facebook, so just keep that in mind, okay? But you put something really good on church. You've been in that situation before when folks ask you how the church is going and, you know, there's a sale on ground meat on all whatever. You know, you try to change the subject because you really don't want to answer that question. But you were excited to answer that question, weren't you? And guys, we should all be excited because look around. Look what God is doing. You know, my parents got here early for church, and I said, okay, Mom, y'all can find a seat. And you know, y'all were in Sunday school. They get here really early, okay? And she's like, well, yeah, they're all over the place. Mom, that won't be the case for long. Why? Because God's doing something significant here. God wants to use us, Brother Rick, to do something great. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. You need to believe that with all your heart. God wants this church to be strong and healthy again. If you believe that, it's time to get busy. Amen? Finally, I miscounted. Those of you that will play golf with me one day, remember, I miscount. Finally, I'm closing again. You know, preachers, we close a bunch of times. We should ask others for help when people oppose us. So there'll be opposition, Pastor? Yeah, there will be. Okay? You would think everybody rejoice when this church gets strong and healthy again. It won't be like that. You'll think everybody's excited. Wow, look at the church. Great things are happening. Guys, don't forget, this is a spiritual fight. This is a spiritual fight. It's not flesh and blood. Repeatedly, Nehemiah and the people were confronted with opposition. When Nehemiah received permission and resources to go back to Jerusalem, the opposition was deeply disturbed. Okay? When the people declared their intention to rebuild the wall, the opposition laughed at them and despised them. Remember, they said something like, a fox couldn't run over that wall and it'd fall down. You can't do that. When the people actually began rebuilding the wall, the opposition became furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. When the people continued rebuilding the wall anyway, the opposition became angry and conspired to attack them and create confusion. And finally, when the people finished the work, the opposition pretended to be reasonable, but they meant the people harm. You see, guys, motion always causes friction. But whenever God's people move forward, the enemy always increases his opposition, and that really turns up the heat. When others oppose us, it's not time to give up. It's time to get up and get to work. Amen? Guys, it's time to get some help. It's time to realize that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? You know what? The Bible says no weapon formed against us should prosper. Does it say that no weapon will ever be formed? Sister Karen, it doesn't say that, right? It says they may be formed, but they will not prosper. Okay? It's not going to work, Fabian. You know what? You would think everybody be excited. Look at Fabian. He's doing good. Everybody ain't excited, bro. Okay? You got some podness. Brittany, they don't come around anymore, right? Because they ain't excited. By the way, she's like, I'm glad they don't come around no more. Okay? But hey, look, not everybody's going to be excited about what God's doing. Not everybody's going to be excited about what's going on at this church. But you know what? I don't care about everybody. I just care about him. I just want him to smile, Miss Valley. I just want Jesus to be pleased. Amen? I don't really care what everybody else says. I just care about what he says. You know what? Let's make sure that we please God. Let's make sure that we do what God tells us to do. Amen? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nehemiah's final words of encouragement. As our time with Nehemiah comes to an end, We wish we could run another lap with him. We wish we could hear from this great man of God a little bit more because, man, he did some incredible things. But there's a few last thoughts he would tell us, like, it's not easy to ask for help. How many men would say amen? It's not easy to ask for help. He knows that. Even after I prayed and planned, Nehemiah says, I found it difficult to tell the king my heart's desire. Don't let insecurity or ego or fear make you try to go it alone. In God's kingdom, there are people ready to help at the right time, in the right way, people that you don't even know yet. You know what, guys? God has sent some people to this church, and he's going to continue to send people to this church. Why? Because we're praying for you. Amen. How do we pray? The Lord of the harvest to do what? Send forth laborers. Okay, that's how we're praying. Why are we praying that way? Because Jesus said to pray that way. If Jesus said do it, I think we ought to do it. Amen. Jesus said don't do it, we probably ought not. Okay, but it isn't easy to ask for help sometimes. Secondly, not everyone will help. As much as I would like to tell you that we'll have 100% participation, everybody's going to be on board, that just ain't the case. See, Nehemiah would say, when I arrived in Jerusalem, I had momentum on my side. I had received permission and resources to rebuild. The leaders of the city had bought into my leadership and vision. When we began rebuilding the wall, I thought everyone will help. But to my surprise, some nobles did not put their shoulder to the work of the Lord. Remember this, no matter how great the vision, how strong the morale, how far the progress, somebody in your camp will refuse to help. Don't wait on them. Keep moving forward. Could I add, don't be that guy. Okay? Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy who just wants to look around and see what's going on. Don't be that guy. Now look, are we asking everybody to do the same thing? No, there's a part for every one of us to play. Amen? Your part may be a prayer warrior. Your part may be interceding. Your part may be giving. We need people to finance the vision. We need people with means who are able to help us do what God's calling us to do. Whatever your part is, be willing to do it. And finally, Nehemiah would say, many times you don't need a miracle. You just need each other. Let me say that again. You know, so many times we think that this church needs a miracle. Brother Donald, there's been times you thought this church needs a miracle. No, we just need each other. We just need to realize that we're better together than we are apart. That God has put us together for such a time as this. Many of the great men and women here in this stadium, these great men and women we've been talking about, saw God provide for them miraculously. But you don't always need a miracle to do something miraculous. God had already provided all that we needed. We just needed to work together. Without the leadership Nehemiah provided, the people would have remained fearful and inactive. Without the hard work the people provided, the walls would have remained in ruins. Nehemiah would say, you can run this race well, but you cannot run it alone. Why do we think all of us are here encouraging you? Guys, Nehemiah did significant things for God. I believe we're going to do significant things for God. Amen? And how are we going to do it? Bless you. We're going to do it together, and we're going to do it with God's help. I believe God wanted those walls rebuilt in Jerusalem just as surely as he wants this church to be strong and healthy again. Amen? And together, we're going to do it.